Well, good morning, everyone. Last night, we had two new winners.
Recording in progress.
One for $1 million. The other, of course, the scholarship. This was the third week that we've done this. And, you know, I normally, the way it works this week, this information is kept very close. You know, the drawing is made at some point Monday to give the lottery people and the health people enough time to verify the person has, in fact, been vaccinated. And I'm told this week, I was told on Monday, that the general locations in the state where individuals were. So I could start thinking about Wednesday. And then I think about 5 o'clock, you know, I was given the name, the two names. And what I've been doing for the last 3 weeks is picking up the phone about 7 o'clock and calling the winners. You know, last night I had the opportunity, Fran and I did actually, to knock on the door of Mr. Klein and tell him directly that that he had won. So we had the opportunity this morning to kind of share with you Mark Klein, who won, is from Richwood, Union County, and won the $1 million. And we also have Sarah Afana, who won the scholarship. And Sarah, good morning. Good to see you this morning. And your mom, Summer, good morning. But why don't we start with we'll go back to Mark for a moment. And Mark, you won the $1 million. How you guys doing this morning? Less than 24 hours. I know that you had family and friends came over shortly after it was announced that you won. So I guess you had a celebration last night.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. You know, from the moment we looked out and we saw you on our doorstep, things just started moving a million miles a minute. And we've had, you know, family and friends reaching out and congratulating us. So it's been really exciting and, you know, kind of a fun time to have won this. So that was great.
So I know people are just kind of interested in your story. You told me that you're retired. You want to tell us what you did before you retired?
I worked for Marathon Petroleum, several different positions working there. But when I retired in 2016, I was a project manager and worked in the areas of environmental and safety and training, mostly with my career there. So great Ohio company, so it was, I've been very fortunate and blessed to have had a good career and now with the little extra icing on the top of my life here, this is really good. But, I think more importantly, it's about getting the vaccine. So, I mean, I hope everyone, you know, makes that decision to get it and, looks after their friends and neighbors.
You and I and Fran were talking last night. You got it at the Union County Fairgrounds, and we actually visited there, but I guess we determined it was not the same day. But I was kind of joking with you, and Fran was. I think it was actually you drove through the chicken barn, as I remember, at the Union County. They had a kind of a unique way of doing it. Driving, you drove right through the building, and you got the shot. It was they did a phenomenal job, I thought.
Oh, it was great. Very, very easy the way they had it set up. You drive through, they had a lot of great volunteers working to get you in and out through the line. And they did a fantastic job. We didn't have to even get out of our car. I mean, it was just, I was on one side, my wife was on the other, and we both got our shots and, it was no big deal. And we went back 21 days, I think it was, later to get the second one. So, and neither of us really had any side effects other than just a little soreness in the arm. So people are afraid and seeing all the crazy things. They should ignore all that. That's not the stuff that's happening. The shots are no big deal. Get them. Protect your fellow men and women that you know.
I think when Fran and I were talking with you and your wife last night, she kind of made the point that, entering is fine, winning is fine, but the most important thing is getting vaccinated. So I thought that was kind of something to say after you guys had won $1 million, still to say, hey, that's the most important thing. So that was interesting. So how is she doing? Is she doing okay?
She's doing okay, even though I told her that the Megan is mine because she didn't register.
We'll be back with you in a moment, I'm sure, with members of the news media who may have some questions.
Thank you.
Sarah, how are you doing? We've had a little trouble there, Eric, with the freezing, I guess. So I don't know. Let's try it again. How about now, Sarah? Can you hear me? Good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Sarah, what did is your mom the one that told you you'd won? Who told you?
Well, yes, my mom was the one that told me. And yeah.
And was she excited? Was she more excited than you were?
Probably. Probably, yes. It was very exciting, surreal for sure.
Well, it's great, Sarah. You're a little young to be picking out a college, though, right?
Right.
I think you're about to turn 14 shortly.
Yes.
And you'll be going into what grade then?
Eighth grade.
Have you thought at all about college yet, or not?
I thought about going to college, but I've never really looked at colleges a lot.
And there's others in your family, right? You have what, three siblings, I think? Is that right? Three?
Yes.
Yeah, she has an older sister that's 17. So she's a little envious of this.
Oh, I'm sure she is, but I think you told me though that it helps the whole family, right?
Oh, so I mean, of course, yeah, of course. We're that's what I told her. I said what helps us and helps her definitely is gonna help my 17-year-old. So that's how we're looking at it. Yeah, we feel so lucky and so blessed that we've won. But like Mark said, we're so lucky that we were able to access the vaccine and it was a seamless process. We got our vaccine at Fairview Hospital, and as soon as the kids were old enough to get vaccinated, we signed up, and it was a very easy, seamless event for us. So with minimal side effects. So that really is what we are grateful and thankful for.
And where did you all actually get the vaccine? Where did you say?
At Fairview Hospital. Yeah. Yeah. Their system is awesome. And it was, like I said, there was no wait time. You just sort of walk right in and get your vaccine and wait your 15 minutes and that's it. There was no complication. No, it was great. It was a great system.
So Sarah, are you the youngest or are there somebody younger than you?
I have two younger siblings.
Okay. So they've not been able to be vaccinated yet then, I assume. Right?
So yeah. I have a brother who's 12 years old.
Well, that's great. Well, we appreciate it. Well, stand by, and we may have some questions from members of the news media. We just appreciate you doing it this morning, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay, thank you.
This week's Vax-a-Million drawing included 3,362,203 adult entries in the drawing for the $1 million prize. These are as of Monday. We release these numbers once a week. And on that date, it was 143,604 Ohioans age 12 to 17 entered the drawing for the college scholarship. So that marks from Monday to Monday an increase of 136,414 adult entries and increase of 10,701 scholarship entries from the previous week. So we continue to see that moving forward. Obviously, we continue to see the interest in that. Comment about the vaccinations. We're all kind of looking at the same numbers. You know, we're facing what other states are facing. And, you know, if you go back and look at our base week prior to the announcement, then you look at the first week, second week, and the third week is basically filled in now. It takes a few days to fill in. So the first week, as I said at the time, you know, what we achieved in the first week was worth all of it in the increased vaccinations. Second week was good as well. Third week is now pretty much filling in. Not as good going back, but it's interesting as we kind of drill down on the numbers. You know, it's clearly continuing to make a difference in some of our rural counties. For example, even into the third week, as the third week is about completed, we're seeing still increases in Hocking County, Seneca, Ross, Jackson, Fayette, Paulding, Wyandotte, Crawford, Warren, and Pickaway County. Really, with the exception of Warren, those are primarily, I guess you would classify them, I'm just looking quickly, really all fairly rural counties. So we're still getting benefit from that as we move forward. But, you know, we're really seeing what this vaccine is doing. And we continue to see it every day. And the way we see what the vaccine and people getting vaccinated and every day is doing is if you just look, for example, in the number of cases. Over the weekend, we reached a benchmark that we set in early March as a way to show marked improvement in the pandemic on Saturday. On Saturday, the Ohio Department of Health reported fewer than 50 COVID cases per 100,000 statewide, and that number was 49.5. We've been carefully watching the number every day, and I'm pleased to share that the rate decline has continued as we have moved forward. As of yesterday, we don't have today's numbers yet, but as of yesterday, the two-week statewide average of cases per 100,000 was at 39.1. I'm going to show a chart in just a minute. That they've really they're going down across the state. I think it certainly indicates that Ohio continues to move forward into really a new phase of this pandemic. We are moving forward. Vaccinations are working. Hospitalizations are down. Deaths are down. The threat of COVID is still out there, and for someone who's not been vaccinated, that threat is certainly still there. We would urge people, obviously, to get vaccinated. The more of us get vaccinated, the better off we all are going to be. Eric, let's look at the chart for a moment. You know, this chart continues to, I don't know if we can get a real close up of that, but our highest county today, for example, our highest county today is Lawrence County at 77. And if you just go down and drop down, once we get down to Richland County, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17th county down, and every county below that, 17th county down, every county below that is below 50. So we're moving, and it's consistent, you know, throughout the state, or it's going down throughout the state. So we're very happy with where we are. The more vaccines, the more we're going to continue to drive this down. We are ready for questions, and we'll open it up for the news media.
Governor, first question today is from Andrew Welsh Huggins at the Associated Press.
Hi, Governor. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Hey, Andrew.
So switching to politics, what's your reaction, please, to the news that former Congressman Jim Renacci has announced that he'll challenge you in next year's Republican gubernatorial primary? What argument will you make to GOP voters to nominate you for the general election?
Well, Andrew, thank you for the question. I was thinking this morning that it's throughout my career, there's been a rare time that I do not have a primary opponent. That is the nature of life. That's the nature of politics. And so, you know, there's going to be a primary. That should not be shocking to anyone simply because there's virtually always a primary in the races. And, you know, I'll be laying out my vision for the future of the state of Ohio as we move forward. And, but I'm, you know, I don't think anyone has had more press conferences, been out more than I have. And, you know, we're now trying to put this pandemic in the rearview mirror, and Ohio is coming out strong. And I feel good, very, very good, frankly, with where we are. We made tough decisions early on. We cut spending. We froze hiring. And, you know, as the budget is considered this week, Senate has done their work, House has done their work. Now the conference committee and discussions are going on. I feel very good, you know, about the work that they have done. If you look at our priorities, which is really investing in Ohioans, investing in the future, something we've talked about throughout our administration, not only talked about, but we put money into it and we put action into it. You know, I feel very, very good about where we are. We have work to do, and that work will obviously have to continue and will continue. We're excited about that, but you know, I think we're coming out of this in very, very strong, good shape. And we have, you know, still some people suffering, and we have to, you know, certainly work on that. But we're doing well, and we're coming out of this strong.
Next question is from Julie Washington at Cleveland.com.
Hi, Governor. My question is about the Delta variant. Is the Delta variant in Ohio? And if so, what threat does it pose for unvaccinated Ohioans? Will the Delta variant and the number of unvaccinated Ohioans combine to make it harder for the state to reach herd immunity?
Let me refer that to the medical expert, Dr. Vanderhoff. Doctor?
Yeah, thank you very much. Very, very good question, because you're probably seeing media reports about the advent of the Delta variant. This is a variant that emerged out of India. It's actually referred to scientifically as B16172. It is like B117 in being more contagious than the original strain, though it's not likely to be more severe than B117. The good news that really gets to your question about containment is that the vaccines that we have appear to protect people against even the Delta variant. Like B117, it causes only a very modest reduction in measured antibody response. And that, of course, doesn't even account for the so-called cellular immunity. So in terms of numbers, the Delta variant now accounts for more than 6% of all infections in the United States, according to the CDC. And out west, those numbers are even higher. So far here in Ohio, though, we're really only seeing a fraction of a percent in terms of our total mix. But I would fully expect that that will rise. If we just look at the UK, it is appearing to rapidly overtake B117. Bottom line is vaccination. It's the way out of the pandemic. It's our best protection, including against the Delta variant.
Thank you.
Next question is from Dan DeRose at WOIO in Cleveland.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning, Governor. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir.
A couple of questions for our winners. Mark, you're leaving us hanging here as reporters. You've got a great story about your wife not registering. I don't know how long you'll be able to hold on to all $1 million and not share it. So we'd love to hear the story behind who got registered, why she didn't register. And then for the mom of our winner, Sarah, first off, we can get mom's name. Can she walk us through? She seemed to be very passionate about getting her children vaccinated if we still have Sarah and her mother with us.
Mark, do you want to start?
Sure. My wife and I both went out our shots at the same time. And we were actually talking when it was announced about the whole Vaccimillion efforts. We're like, man, we already got our shots. Are we even going to be eligible? And so as we went through this and started more that would be eligible because we got our vaccinations in March, I went online and registered kind of I could. And my wife looked at the information and she says, I don't really want to sign up because I don't want my name out there. And I want to be part of the press conferences and have my face out there. She's pretty shy about that kind of stuff. But if you get to know her, she's really not shy at all. So she decided not to register. And so when the governor told me that I had won, she was still in the house and I opened the door and I told her, I said, Cheryl, I said, we just won $1 million and was really excited. And I thought about it a second and I said, no, I won $1 million because you didn't register. So she kind of had to take that one a little bit, but in reality, my money is her money.
So, Mark, she might benefit a little bit from that, you think?
Oh, I should benefit more than a little bit, you know. My money's her money. Money's her money. She's a wonderful wife, and so I'm you know happy and blessed to be able to share it with her.
Summer, you guys want to? You still remember the question?
I think so. Asking about my my passion about getting the kids vaccinated. So I'm a nurse, so I sort of have seen the damage that COVID has done in all settings of healthcare. So when the vaccine came out and I was allowed to get vaccinated, there was no question that my husband and I were going to get vaccinated. You know, my father-in-law had had COVID at the very beginning and was very ill, and my husband had COVID, so there was any doubt that we were going to get vaccinated, but we were just so excited that that the vaccine was approved for our 17-year-old. And then, you know, I have two kids that are within the 12 and above age, so we just felt lucky that we were able to get the vaccine and it was available to us. So for me, it was a no-brainer. As soon as they were eligible, we signed up and we took them in.
Thank you.
Next question is from Jim Oddie at WHIO in Dayton.
Jim.
Hey, Governor. Last week, you had hinted that there was going to be some collaboration with private entities for potential additional incentives for the vaccinations. Is that moving forward? Do you have anything else that you could share with us on that? And a clarification, we are still under technically a health emergency from your orders. Is that correct? You could take either one of those in either order.
Yeah, I mean, virtually everything is, you know, is off as far as the mask. And, you know, the questions we get now sometimes really have to do with what a hospital is doing or what a nursing home is doing. So, you know, the general population, you know, the masks are off, virtually everything is off. You know, we'll have clarification on the emergency order shortly, but you know, we are pretty much back to normal. We're rolling. You know, Indians Reds can have as many tickets as they can sell, which is great, and I know people are enjoying that, and people are getting tickets for concerts, and they're doing all the things that, you know, they want to be able to do. So we're back, we're moving, and you know, feel good about where we are. As far as additional prizes, we are working on that. Actually working on it this morning. Not quite ready to announce anything, but we have some additional kind of incentives and things that the private sector is has been working on, and we hope to announce those in the next few days. So looking forward to that. There's still ample reason for people to get their shot, ample reason for people to register. If you've not done so, you have until Sunday night for the next drawing. The next drawing, of course, will be next Wednesday. Another $1 million will be given. A scholarship will be given. And we hope to add, as I said, announce some additional prizes and different additional things that the private sector and businesses are going to be donating. So stay tuned.
Next question is from Jackie Borchert at the Cincinnati Enquirer.
Hi, Jackie.
Good morning. Hi, good morning. My question is for Dr. Vanderhoff. He's still on.
Sure, he's on.
Great. Hi, Dr. Vanderhoff. Last week you said that COVID-19 was one of the top causes of death among children. I haven't seen that reported anywhere else except for a children's hospital in Alabama. Can you explain where that information came from?
Yeah, that actually comes from information from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and we can get you that reference offline.
Next question is from Mike McCarthy at WSYX in Columbus.
Governor, good morning. Thanks for the availability today, and thanks for making everyone else there available as well. I know the Associated Press already hinted upon this, but my question is also about the gubernatorial election and Jim Renacci joining the primary race. He's already released a video in which he is very critical of your response to the pandemic. I know you just said some tough choices were made in terms of how Ohio responded, but what do you say specifically to the claim that you put fear over freedom with the shutdowns?
I've always felt that protecting human life is an essential belief of the people of the state, the country. I certainly believe that as far as Republicans. We talk a lot about protecting human life. So protecting human life is very important. But I also felt that protecting livelihoods, people's ability to make a living, was also very dependent upon our ability to manage the pandemic and our ability not to have massive disruptions where our hospitals are clogged and pictures on TV of people not being able to be treated. So Ohio has taken a informed view for the last 15 months about how we move. We involve the business community early on, large, small, manufacturing, retail, all different sectors, as we designed the health orders and as we put those orders together. So it was done in a sense, a careful way to preserve life, to protect people, with the understanding that our ability to keep this virus down was going to impact how we were getting through this from an economic point of view and from a jobs point of view, and how we would come out of this. So we made decisions early on to dramatically cut spending, and we did it early. At the same time, we froze hiring and took the number of people over time down who were working for the state of Ohio. Because of those early decisions, the careful way that we did it, we are coming out of this strong. If you look at the national unemployment, we're way ahead of below that national unemployment level. We are basically back to where we are when we started. The budget that is being considered, the Senate, the House, budget that we proposed, is informed by good revenues that are coming out. We're seeing good revenues, and my director of the budget next week on Tuesday will be testifying and giving the latest update. And I would simply say that I think people will be pleased with how Ohio is doing and the position that we are in as we move forward.
Governor, next question is the last question for today, and it belongs to Sarah Arthurs of the Findlay Courier.
Yes, thank you for holding this, Governor. My question is for Mark. I'm here in Findlay. When you said Marathon Petroleum, my ears perked up. Did you work for Marathon here in Findlay? And can you tell us a little bit about, more about what you did for Marathon and your career? Thank you.
Yes, I did work in Findlay for 20 some years, I believe, in Findlay. I worked as an environmental and safety engineer is what I first started with Marathon Pipeline at the time, and worked in those capacities for several years. And I then worked in the learning and development area. I was a training supervisor for the pipeline organization and the terminal organization. And I then moved into, as I said, when I retired in 2016, I was a project manager working on some things related to learning and development. Love Findlay, worked there and enjoyed living there, great community. We moved to Richwood because our daughter and son-in-law and granddaughters all are down here in Marysville. So we moved here to be closer to them, and we found another great community to live in. And, you know, it's been nice down here. And again, we get to spend time with the grandkids, and all that has been wonderful.
Mark, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Sarah, thank you. Thanks, both of you, for being with us. We appreciate it very, very much. We wish you all the best. Let me just close by one additional thought. We have received, I know, some inquiries in regard to my position on House Bill 248. And I'm not going to get into all the details about this bill, but I think it's important for us to remember what great strides have been made, how our lives have been changed by vaccines. Probably millions of people's lives around the world have been changed for the better. Lives saved. I remember as a child when polio struck fear, absolute terror, that word in parents, and people altered their behavior with their children, their willingness to go to a ball game and to go to a swimming pool in the summer. People were terrified. Polio is eradicated. And it's not just polio. You know, before modern medicines, diseases such as measles, mumps, polio, whooping cough were common and caused great, 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 great suffering and death for thousands of people every single year. We no longer fear our children being stricken with polio. Deaths from tetanus, whooping cough are almost unheard of today. And many doctors have never even seen a case of measles. Just fundamental changes that we have seen, and changes that I've seen in my lifetime because of the great, great work of medical science. This is really, vaccines are just so very, very important. And I just think we need to, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget where we were or where we would be without these life-saving vaccines. So I certainly oppose House Bill 248. But I just think it's important for us to keep a big, big perspective about that. But people can go talk about the bill. I'm sure there will be opponent testimony as well, and you'll hear from medical experts who will come in and talk about the different provisions of the bill. But keeping the big picture in mind, I think is very important. Hope everybody has a good day, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.